First hour in the books here on the Kevin Sheehan Show right here on the Team 980. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app as well. Lynnell Willingham sitting in for Kevin at about 11:30. Danny Ruye, one half of Grant and Danny over on The Fan, going to join us, give us his thoughts as the Commanders opening up voluntary OTAs today, the full 90-man roster on the field at the same time, rookies, free agents, all for the media to see. We'll get Danny Ruye's thoughts on what he's expecting from the burgundy and gold coming up in 2025. Also, as we move throughout this 11 o'clock hour, two very prominent NFL analysts, but two differing opinions on the Washington Commanders and what they will be in 2025. We'll let you get to that as well. We're live on YouTube. You check this out in the chat. Say what's up. Our guy Eric Leach saying, iron with the heat. You damn right, and brought the heat. Talking about the Washington Nationals, your confidence level as a fan base that this group will turn it around, that Mike Rizzo and company will get begin to receive the fruits of their labor of wearing it on their chin for the past couple of years. Third fewest wins in Major League Baseball since 2019. So, how long does this rebuild take? This is an interesting perspective we're about to get. Our guy Kurt in Hagerstown telling us to relax. I think I may agree with you. What's going on, Kurt?
Yeah, man. I mean, when we made that deal, when we got rid of Soto, which I thought was an excellent deal, we got a lot of good prospects. I did want the catcher from San Diego that we didn't get in that deal. But that being said, all these guys are babies, infants, man, in their development stage. Woods is a rookie. We haven't even seen Hassel yet. House, Abrams, Cruz. I mean, this is a awesome core that we're building. When we made that deal, I wrote down 2027, 28, 29. Why waste money on a big-name pitcher that we can't compete with the Dodgers? Because that's really who we're going against right now. We can't compete with the Dodgers. So keep doing what we're doing. I think we're right on schedule, man. Why waste money? Like, look what the Phillies have spent in their payroll, and what have they got from it? What we don't want to do is we don't want to look like Baltimore, where you build a nice young core, but you don't support it when they become great. And that's not what Rizzo does. If you look back at his track record, he knows when to make the big moves. He knows when to strike. So just let the man do what he does. He's one of the best at his job. When we get to the point when we're competing for the pennant, he'll go out there. He'll get a shilling and a Randy Johnson, two pitchers and a reliever, because that's all we need, really. Once these boys grow up, man, and become in their prime, watch what happens, man. I'm not worried at all. Zero
That's
worry.
A very interesting perspective, Kurt, and I do hear what you're saying. I actually would take it a step further. I think they're a little bit closer maybe than you gave them credit for. I agree with your timeline, right? You're talking 27, 28. I think if the youngins, like I said with Britt on the phone, if the youngins continue to show progress throughout this season, the consistency is the big thing I'm looking for with Mackenzie Gore and Jake Irvin. But as far as Abrams and Wood, and hopefully Cruz is able to hit it well when he comes back. First of all, they're going to have a dilemma in the outfield, Kurt.
Hassel, people don't even know about. Everywhere that kid's gone, man, he's just going to be one of those guys that hits 300. He's going to be what people love in this town, because he reminds me of Anthony Rendon.
Just gets
once he gets going. And then House, he should be that power guy. We need to get him in the weight room, get him on some creatine, blow him up a little bit. Yeah. Also, we need to get some of these young guys and bring them in right away, saying, look, man, you're going to be the sixth, seventh, eighth guy, man. We need that sixth, seventh, eighth inning, Tyler Clipper type guy. Somebody comes in that just owns that position. They don't have to be the reliever. They like their role and they own it.
Look, I think, Kurt, maybe that's what they need to spend some money on, man. I appreciate your call as always, brother. Enjoy the rest of your day. Yeah. But, what did I say, though, Max? Every caller that we've taken thus far, what if they all omitted? What if they all omitted? They haven't spoke about the lack of development. The money thing to me is not the issue here. It's a part of the problem, for sure. I'm not ignorant. But you got to draft, develop, and retain talent. That allows you to go spend money. Kind of like the last caller was alluding to. Lap is in D.C. wants to chime in. What's going on, Lap?
Hey, what's up, Lunell?
What's going on, bro?
Happy birthday to DOC and Denton, man.
Yes, indeed. Oh, and, you ruined the surprise. We have something later.
Oh, man.
You, but okay.
Okay. I got you. Man, I'm just going to say this, man. I told you guys on this radio station, I said, man, that Nats probably never win another one again. You know what I'm saying? It's just a sad franchise. Yes, I'm going to tell you why. Because I was talking to B. Mitch one day, right? And I said, well, do we have two World Series or one? And he was like, well, it's who you talk to. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, what? Oh, like, do we have two or not? Like, so when you got a franchise, we don't know if we got more than one World Series, but technically we're supposed to, and in which we won that World Series a long, long time ago. That's sad. So the only one we legitimately can count is the 2019 season. So we probably never win again. Now, baseball is a different sport, you know, compared to the other sports. You do have a chance to kind of develop players and build players, and you could probably contend, you know what I'm saying, a lot sooner than other sports. But, man, I just don't like the way they handling it, man. And I'm so glad the Commanders are doing good. I hope we keep that up because the Wizards are sorry. I'm disappointed. The Nats are going to be sorry for a while till they develop. And they might need to sell the team, Lunell. I think Ted just need to buy the team, even though I'm sick of him, too. He almost on my hit list like Daniel Snyder. But I'll take him. You know, at least he's approachable and he'll talk to the media. But the Lerner family is some trash. Straight garbage,
oh my God,
bro. And they need to get it. They need to get it together, man, because this is sad, man. We spent all these taxpayer dollars to get a freaking baseball team here, which a lot of us don't even like baseball. Let's keep it real. You know what I'm saying?
Don't forget, Lap, the city paid for Nats Park.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But
that's tough.
I just think it's going to be a long time coming until they get something together. And we better enjoy the World Series. And we'll see what happened with the development of the players we got because we do got some talent. But we'll see, man. But I'm just disappointed, man. It's just really sad.
Lap, we appreciate you as always, my man. Right now, I want to go live out to Ashburn as Cliff Kingsbury addressing the media before the Commanders hit the practice field.
So you could have gone out and looked for some other jobs, and you didn't. Why did you want to be back this year?
Yeah, DQ has created tremendous culture. The organization has as well, just starting at the top with Josh and then AP, type of people they brought in. So I'm excited to continue to learn from DQ and these other coaches and continue to try to build this thing.
You know, you've added Debo, Laramie, and all that to help to obviously building around the office and also around Jaden. Just how do you go about like building off of his first year and what things have you seen from him already that maybe he's even improved in?
Yeah, he works extremely hard. I mean, that's all he kind of thinks about is how he can get better and watches a ton of film, watches a ton of football overall. And so that organically really takes care of itself in a way when you have a guy who wants to be that great. And then just the pieces we brought in, high character guys that have done it at a high level, continue to try and take another step with the guys we have coming back. We're just working to get better. I think overall, that's a group that's hungry, not just Jaden, but it's a group that's works really well together, very coachable, and wants to improve as a unit.
Cliff, we saw the note you left for Adam Peters on draft night to take Josh Connerly. How was it being the GM for that pick, and why for you was taking an offensive tackle important there?
Yeah. You know, I've known Adam a long time, so we always have fun with each other. But just being around Josh, the type of person he is, his makeup, competitive spirit, the desire to be great, and just he's young. And I think the skill set is definitely there, and the sky's the limit for the talent. I think building it, you've seen our division, the team who just won the whole thing, they built it starting up front. And I think to try and keep up with those type teams, you got to continue to do that and stock that room. Injuries happen. You know, we were really impressed with the line last year and the job they did, but injuries happen and you always got to try and get younger. And the more depth you have in that room, the better you're going to do.
And obviously, I'm sure you had to get away for a little bit after the season, but your communication with Jaden over the course of the last few months, how did that work out? Did you guys meet in person or was it just, you know, text, things like that? How did you guys
Text and calls. you know, he like I said, his mind is never very far away from the game. So if he sees something or has a thought, you know, he likes to reach out and talk through it. And so that relationship has really grown, I think, kind of figuring out where we want to continue to get better at.
You talked about Connerly and building up that offensive line. How do you kind of see all those guys? Like, where do you see him playing? Is he a tackle, a guard?
I think DQ said it. I mean, there's really one guy that we see is solidified through and through, and the rest are going to compete and continue to try and get better. And wherever he fits in, he fits in, whether it's starting this year or next year or the year after. You know, that's what I love about this culture DQ has. Everything's earned, and he'll have to earn it as well, and it's a competitive group right now.
And when you when the season ended with Jaden, was there anything you really emphasized to him going into the offseason that you wanted him to work on?
No. You know, he's a guy, like I said, organically it's going to happen as you continue to work with each other, and he continues to figure out, you know, his game and this offense and master the offense. So it was more just get some rest because he wanted to get right back into it. So hey, get some rest, get away from it, and then attack it. And he's done that. I mean, he is very highly motivated to be as good as he can be, and that's always exciting for the organization.
Regardless of where they end up, how will a bulked up offensive line affect you as a play caller?
You know, that's where it all starts as a play caller. So the ability to you know, have the entire playbook open and feel comfortable with whatever you call, I think it is always made easier on that group is really good. And I thought last year they were tremendous for what we asked them to do, and playing with the rookie quarterback and really helping him along. And hopefully the pieces we added this year will just make him that much better.
What roles do you imagine for Jalen and Ja'Cory specifically this year?
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty loaded group, you know, so they're going to have to kind of get in where you fit in with this group, and there's not a ton of footballs to go around. So both guys have really attacked it. Great athletes, bring a lot of speed, dynamic players, and so we'll kind of see how this progresses throughout the offseason.
You coach quarterbacks and their first year under your system, the second year. How much does it make a difference when a smart kid like Jaden, when he gets to stay in the same continuity of offense and having just have that muscle memory?
Yeah, it's huge. I think you look traditionally through the NFL, the guys who've had a ton of success have been able to stay in those long-term, all-time greats, and just the comfort level, and then you being able to take the ownership of it and understand it inside and out, where now you're correcting people. You don't even need the coaches, and he's kind of getting to that point.
We haven't seen Jaden yet on this offseason, but there's been some speculation over some pictures online that maybe he's put on a little muscle. Does he look different physically?
Yeah. I mean, I think he's still pretty lean, you know, but he's definitely worked really hard at his fitness in the weight room. And I mean, he's here early and stays late and does all the things. So I'm sure I haven't seen his weights, but I'm sure that he's a little bit thicker than he was.
And then you saw a lot of Debo in the NFC West. Mm-hmm. How excited are you to have a guy with that much versatility?
Yeah, one of the best competitors I've gone against as a coach, just seeing him twice a year there in Arizona. I was always so impressed with how Kyle utilized him and did different things with him, and he's a football player through and through. Even being out here at OTA, is just you get him on the field, and he's got a natural feel for things as he's figuring this offense out. But couldn't be more thrilled, haven't seen it up close and personal for those years, to actually get to work with him. He's, like I said, he's a great football player.
Hey, Coach. Second year with you and Jaden, obviously a lot of the conversation is, well, everybody else has a full season to tape on Jaden and also you as a play caller now. How much do you change and evolve your offense for the sake of changing, and how much do you try to anticipate the fact that they do have all that film on you now?
Yeah, they have a lot of years of play calling on me, actually. So every year you just evolve and really try to maximize who you are as an offense. So we'll see where these new guys fit in. We'll see what we did well last year, what we think we can improve on, and then go from there. But like I said, the guys I've seen that improve year to year are the really hard workers, and that's what Jaden is. So I would expect him to take another big step.
And I don't know if you can really quantify it, but if you can, or however you can answer it, how much are you pulling from your experience from Kyler's second season for Jaden's second season?
Yeah, I think throughout my career, just guys that I've been able to work with in year two, like I said, the biggest deal is just the ownership of the offense and the mastery of it, and where they are very comfortable and checks the line and correcting guys and the timing, the rhythm of plays, their footwork marrying up with every concept. I think that's where they really take a huge step, and traditionally the second year has been a massive jump for those guys.
Hey, Cliff, the running back room specifically, and Brian Robinson Jr., obviously is a big year for him. Up and down year last year, what do you see from Brian, and what do you expect kind of from that room and from Brian especially this year in that running back room?
Yeah, he's been really focused. The biggest thing that came out of last year, I think, was that any of the guys that we asked to go in and play played at a really high level. And you know, Eckler in his role and what he was able to do, I thought – it really had a resurgence, and all the other guys, whether it's J-Mac or C-Rod, whenever their number was called, they stepped up and played at a high level. But B-Rob's a guy who has played at an incredibly high level. I thought early in the year, when he was really healthy, you know, he was what we expect him to be, and the focus this offseason has been great. He knows what this year means to him and can mean to us when he plays at that level.
Terry McLaurin and Adebo Samuel on the field at the same time. I'm sure you're smiling already. How do they complement each other, their skill sets? How can you utilize them together as a package on the field?
Yeah, both tremendous players. You know, Terry taking the top off, doing the things he does with his route tree outside, always scares defenses. And then Debo, just the myriad of ways you can use him, the touches you can get. He's hard to tackle. That first scan space rarely gets him down. And so just finding ways that he can continue to impact our offense and still get those other guys to football.
And that you saw Jaden bulk up a little bit. Is that something that you and the coaching staff had requested of him or recommended, or did he do that on his own?
I think just through, you know, getting older and working out, I don't think it was anything that we really said, hey, you got to be this weight or that weight. I mean, he knows what he has to do to protect himself and where he feels comfortable playing. But the arm strength, like, he looks better and you can tell he's stronger. There's no doubt.
And when you're bringing in new guys like Debo Samuel, like Laremy Tunsil, how important is this period, this OTA period, as you're learning your personnel and building that chemistry?
Yeah, it can be good. You know, those guys like that have done it at such a high level for so long, they're consummate professionals. They're going to show up ready to go, whether it's training camp or OTAs. But I think a lot of times for the younger players, it's pretty vital to get them in here, get them comfortable, so then in training camp they can compete at a high level and feel comfortable.
Hey, Coach. Hey. When you look at the offense last year and you assess where you all finish, is it any area that you say that this is where we want to be better this year?
Yeah, I thought, you know, ball security ultimately kind of was where Achilles heel late in the season. Had a bunch that we can't do if you really want to be one of those elite teams. And so I think that's an area that we'll harp on all offseason and try to be better protecting the football.
And looking at one of your wide receivers that you signed this year is Jalen Lane. What have you seen from him in this early stage of the OTAs?
Yeah, he can really roll. Fast, dynamic player. Had a great college career there and very hardworking, very conscientious about his preparation, and it's really picked things up quick. We've kind of moved around to try and challenge him inside, outside, and he's picked it all up. So I'm excited to see how he develops and does in training camp.
Hey there, Coach. At this point in the season, right, it's May, but you, in your role as offensive coordinator, what are you working on right now, and how does that relate to the overall performance of the offense?
Yeah, trying to get the new players of the system, whether it's the young guys, the rookies, or the vets we brought in, really acclimated and comfortable. Some of the veteran guys have a pretty good feel for it. We really streamlined a lot of the stuff we did last year to make sure that this year, well, this offseason was more skill development and not as much scheme. And so really it's about going out there. We're not trying to scheme people up this time of year, but see how you can execute your one-on-ones, win your one-on-ones, work your route technique, things of that nature.
And a popular topic is the schedule, right? Old NFL, you know, schedule drop and all of that. How much do you look at the schedule now, or is it still kind of like we'll just wait until the season gets here and go week to week?
Yeah, I mean, you go week to week, really. The Madrid one will be cool. I'm a big Europe guy, so I'm stoked about that. But other than that, it's, you know, every time that drops, it's the NFL and every game looks tough on your schedule.
Having potentially more talent on your offense, obviously faster, younger, you know, how is it going to be for you to keep everybody happy and not have, you know, these egos come to fruition because maybe they're not getting their call in a particular game?
Yeah, I've never had a great player that didn't want the ball, and so that kind of comes with the territory. But that's one thing I think that DQ has created, where it's the team above anything else. And these guys that had their success last year and got their touches, they know bringing Debo in, there's going to be less, but we're going to be better. And I think when they're able to sacrifice for that and understand that the ultimate goal is winning, then it all works itself out. But you want those guys. I mean, they're going to be pissed. I'll get cussed out a few games, but it's just comes with the territory. You'd rather have really good players cussing you out than bad players cussing you out. So,
and then you look at the receiver room, obviously with Terry, Debo, and now Jalen to go with Luke and some other guys. Do you feel like they're more interchangeable, that you could play them at all the same positions if need be?
We're working towards that. And Noah Brown being back, I thought was huge to get him back. We got to get him healthy, but a lot of guys who understand the system now, played at a really high level, played great in critical situations last year, and so that'll help the young guys come along. But most of those guys can play either inside or out, which is really what you're hopeful of.
Just one more quickly about the schedule. When you see all these primetime games, do you get excited about the opportunity to be showcased on, national TV, or do you look at it more as it screws up my week of typical week of preparation?
Yeah, I get more excited for the players. This is why they do it, to be in those moments and play in those games and work that hard their entire lives to get here. So to have their friends, family, everybody get to see them in that showcase, that's really exciting for those guys. So preparation is always going to be tough in the NFL. It's going to be a busy year. I think it's more you got to appreciate when you get to an opportunity to play on those stages. Yeah, I think just mastery of the system more than anything. Like I mentioned last year, had him learn inside and outside, really kind of overloaded him, but you can see the comfort level is there this year. I mean, just watching him move around, he's not thinking as much. He's playing fast and letting his natural gifts kind of take over, and that's what we want to see. So I expect him to take a big jump.
It's Cliff Kingsbury, the offensive coordinator.